If you have your Bibles, we'll do just a little Bible study before we're dismissed. James 5, verse 13 is a very encouraging passage. It's a blessing to the Christian. And this is not necessarily the topic of what I want to study with you for just a moment. But in James 5, 13, James says, if any among you is afflicted, let him pray. He's actually asking a question, is any among you? Prayer is a blessing for the Christian, for those who are in Christ. And if you are afflicted, you can always know that God hears your prayer. The next statement in this verse says, is any married? Let him sing psalms. I imagine a lot of us here are thankful and happy to be together, as this is a joyful time. There are always cynical things in life that can take away that joy. But I hope that we've enjoyed the singing tonight. I certainly have, and you've led some great songs, and I appreciate it very much. I love to sing. The older I get, the more mature I grow in Christ. I realize how much of a blessing that is. And I want you to know that that is a blessing. It's a privilege to do that. But I want you to look at a passage of Scripture in the book of Isaiah, maybe for a little interesting Bible study, one that might cause you to want to read the book of Isaiah a little bit deeper. Isaiah, clearly a messianic prophet, one of the most well-known books in the entire book of books, the Bible, all of Holy Writ. Some say that it's broke down into two different divisions. If you take the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, it's historical in significance and deals literally with the times that Isaiah was prophesying, or during the times when Isaiah was prophesying to the kings. And as he closes out this historical prophecy, he is dealing with Hezekiah, and you'll remember him at the latter end of chapters 37, 38, and 39. But then chapter 40 through chapter 66 is very messianic in nature, very prophetic, pointing directly and clearly to the kingdom of God, the New Testament era. And it's interesting in chapter 40 that as it's divided for us, it is a chapter that begins with a comforting passage where it literally says, comfort ye my people, saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. There's a finality, there's a finish here in mind. If you look at verse 3, a passage clearly pointing directly to John the Baptizer, the one that would pave the way for our Lord and Savior, the cousin of Jesus the Christ, where it says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And that's exactly what John the Baptizer will do. You can go to Luke chapter 3 and you can see the parallel text there where John preaches this exact text. In fact, he cries out and quotes verse 4 of Isaiah 40, beautiful poetic language about how every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. There's this, again, sense of finality coming with God where everything is going to be on an equal plane. Those who think they're high are going to be brought low. Those that are low are going to be brought equal or high. Those that are crooked are going to be made straight. And those that are rough are going to be made smooth. There's this idea of judgment and severity and yet exaltation with Christ coming. But I want you to fast forward with me just for a moment to Isaiah 51 and notice here some passages that are interesting. The word hearken is used in the King James Version three times here. Isaiah 51 verse 1, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. You remember Jesus will say very often in his earthly ministry, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Many people that have ears to hear just will not hear. They hear what they want to hear. And so our God is always offering an invitation, and he does this three times in this chapter, verse 1, verse 4, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. And then in verse 7, Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. And it, again, is a great invitation. But then look at this. Not only is the word hearken used three times, the word awake in the King James Version, again, the word awake here found three times in sequence. Look at Isaiah 51 verse 9. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake as in the ancient days, in the generation of old. And he reminds them of their history. He goes back and establishes principles that they could be strengthened by looking to the past and looking how God has been absolutely truthful with every word that he's ever spoken. Even though bad things have happened, that's not because of God. That's because mankind failed. Not because God's word failed. And so look at the word awake here three times in verse 9, and then look at verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. Again, wake up. You've experienced bad things. But remember, the word of the Lord is true. And I'll show you. Look at chapter 52, verse 1, as we look at this again section. The idea here, once again, awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Well, the strength of our faith is found in Christ. Ephesians 3:16, we are strengthened by faith in Christ Jesus. And we'll see that as this text is developing. Notice then some clear connections with the New Testament in Isaiah 52. Look at verse 7, where he says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigns. God reigns. He's always been reigning. It's unfortunate that even God's own people, the Israelites, would forsake him, reject him in past times. And God would tell people like Samuel, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. But as he's saying right now and right here through the prophet Isaiah, my word has always been true. I have always reigned. And this is in connection with this idea of awake, awake, wake up, people. Hearken, 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 listen up, people. God is coming. And isn't this amazing? In Isaiah 52 verse 7, the beautiful feet are the preachers in Romans chapter 10. You remember Paul in Romans 10 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. It's in that context that he quotes from Isaiah 52 verse 7 and says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. I love my preacher friends. I love people that preach the truth, and I love people that love the truth. And that's my family. That's who I love. Is that who you love? That's exactly what Isaiah is talking about right here. That's exactly what Paul is talking about. But then look at this in chapter 53, this powerful, again, chapter about the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world, John 1:29. And Isaiah the prophet saying, but Lord, who hath believed our report? It always seems to feel that way. If you preach or taught the gospel long enough, I can assure you, you'll question your motives, you'll question your own heart, and you'll wonder if people are listening. And Isaiah must have been experiencing some of that. And he says here, Lord, but who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Of course, it'll be revealed unto all mankind. And in this chapter is where he talks about the coming Christ, the Lamb of God that's going to suffer on the cross. And he tells us about terrible things here. Terrible things that's going to happen. If you back up to chapter 52, you'll see where he talks about in verse 14, the astonishment of his visage in the King James Version, where it talks about the image of Christ being so marred more than any man. Look at verse 14. And his form more than the sons of men. But then in verse 15 it says, He shall sprinkle many nations. And the idea of sprinkling is interesting because we know that the blood of Christ is what will cleanse all mankind from their sins. You remember the Great Commission is to the whole world, all nations. Jesus says to the apostles, all authority hath been given unto me. Go into all nations, preach the gospel. Well, you see, all nations need to have the gospel preached here. And that's what this context is talking about. But let me show you something else here. Look at chapter 54. This is a great section of scripture if you want to be encouraged. The growth of the kingdom, the future growth of the church, and things that would take place are illustrated here in prophecy. Look at verses 3, 4, and 5. Isaiah 54, verses 3, 4, and 5. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. It's talking about the Gentiles being affected by the gospel. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy maker is thine husband. Do you remember what Ephesians 5 talks about when it talks about Christ being the head of the church? Who is my husband? Yeah, that's right. Christ. I'm married to Christ. He's the one that guides me. And that's what this is talking about. He is my Redeemer. Look at verse 5 there. My Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. You see, today, there's one God. That's what this is talking about. But then I love how chapter 55 kind of summarizes all this. And this is the final point I want you to see. Where we're to seek the Lord, but know something. Look at verses 6 through 11. We're to seek the Lord, but know something. This is always humbling. You see, in verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Because there's coming a day when it's going to be too late. For those who won't repent, won't humble themselves, there's coming a day. And so he says, seek him while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now watch this idea of the thoughts of man. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Our God is full of mercy. He loves to forgive. The angels rejoice, the Bible says, at the repentance of one sinner. There's something big that happens that we can't even understand this side of eternity. When one person is forgiven of their sins, but then look at verse 8. Love this passage. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. And this is God talking here. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was reading through my Bible today, I came across these passages and I wrote them down. And I said, I'm going to talk about this tonight. And it encouraged me. And I hope it's encouraged you. You see, our God is real. And he's as real can be. And he's been speaking clear. His word is absolute. And he wants us to awaken. He wants us to hearken and hear. He wants us to stand up and be strong. He wants us to be unashamed of his gospel and know that it's truth. And know that he'll save us if we'll do what's right. And so, that series of passages there, I know will encourage you. I hope you'll read your Bible more often. I hope that you'll take some time that perhaps you have off this week and focus more upon things that are holy and righteous and eternal. That's the things that'll get you through this life. The arm of the flesh, the Bible says, will fail you. And it fails me every day. Does it not fail you? Do you not see your own frailties and weaknesses every day? I do. I see my shortcomings every day too. And it makes me know that I am thankful, truly thankful, that I have a God who saved me from my sins. And so I hope that you've obeyed the gospel. There are a lot of visitors here. There are people that may need to repent of their sins. You know whether you need to or not. If you need to confess Christ before men publicly, that's part of the plan of salvation too. If you're ready to be immersed in water, the waters of baptism here are always ready, 9th and Main. And we've even got a new heater installed. So you'd like that tonight if you're ready. But don't let that keep you out, because if it was cold, I can assure you hell's a lot hotter. So you want to do what's right while you have time. If we can help you in any way, we'll sing an invitation song as we stand and as we sing.